You're listening to Green Left, and for our program today, we are very happy to be interviewing John Mullen, who is an anti-capitalist activist in the Paris region and a supporter of the group France Insoumise. He also maintains a political website titled randombolshevik.org. And John Mullen has been writing quite regularly on French politics for Green Left and a whole host of different left publications. And we're going to be having him on our program today to have a bit of a discussion about the first round of election results. So this podcast is being recorded on stolen land of the Wurundjeri land of the Kulin Nation. I'd like to acknowledge that this always will be Aboriginal land. And your presenter today is myself, Jacob.
And me, Chloe.
All right. So hello, John. Just to start off, the first question for our program, I guess I want to kind of hear, your kind of summary, of the election results in terms of the fundamental social, economic and political trends that are currently shaping French society.
Well, what we're seeing is a collapse of the two traditional blocs that have been governing French society for decades. So the traditional conservatives only got, how many did they get? 1.5 million votes. There are about 50 million adults in France, although 12 million of them stayed home last Sunday. I think it's very important because very often in the newspapers, you only see the percentages. But in fact, what we want to know is what's happening in the population and in the working class. So the traditional right collapsed down to 1.5 million. The traditional left, the Socialist Party, who were actually the presidency and the government until 5 years ago, got 600,000 votes, a historic collapse of the Socialist Party and of the traditional right, and a very significant rise, both of the far right and fascist, with two candidates, total 10.5 million votes, and of the radical left, with the biggest radical left vote for probably 50 years more, which is 7.5 million votes, for Jean-Luc Mélenchon. So that's the essential picture. It's a very exciting time. I mean, it's very exciting to see the sort of programme that Mélenchon's putting forward, getting 7.5 million votes. I mean, just to remind you, this is, let's get out of nuclear energy straight away, move to 100% renewable energy, to 100% organic agriculture, huge rises for the minimum wage and for pensions, clamp down on tax havens tax the rich much more, far more radical than even something like Jeremy Corbyn in Britain, even more radical than that, and tremendously popular, and also taking place outside the traditional parties of the left, which gives them a bit more leeway to do things differently, I think.
Thanks, John, for that response. Our next question is, why is it that Le Pen will do better in this second runoff than she did in 2017?
Well, in 2017, Macron said, vote for me and this will be a barrage against the far right. And it's exactly the opposite which has happened. That is to say that under tremendous pressure from the Yellow Vest movement, under tremendous pressure from massive student movements, and in particular the workers' strikes against the attempt to smash pensions, which Macron had to abandon because of the strikes. Under this pressure, Macron, although he hadn't a long tradition of Islamophobia, decided that that was the place to go, and so he passed a bunch of new laws against separatism, as he called it, which involved banning Muslim organizations and just generally telling people that the problem was Muslims. And of course, this actually encouraged the far left, because as Le Pen's father said a long time ago, people prefer the original to the copy. And so when Macron hammers the Muslims, this actually makes the far right rise. And at the same time, increasing poverty has also led people to desperate responses, including to the far right. This means that in the first round, 10.5 million for the far right, which is more than Le Pen got even in the second round five years ago. And no doubt she will do better than she did last time. I'm expecting Macron to win the second round of the election. On the other hand, making firm predictions is always a dangerous thing for Marxists to do.
Yeah, and I guess one of the interesting kind of elements, I guess, that has been kind of happening, I guess, in the background of this election is, I mean, in the past several years, a lot of people on the left have been kind of inspired by the massive kind of yellow vest movement that led to kind of massive kind of protests around in response to, you know, cost of what would be kind of termed even cost of living kind of issues around the kind of price of fuel and so on. And I guess I want to hear, John, I guess a bit of your analysis on, I guess, what has been the kind of enduring political impacts of the yellow vest movement, especially in terms of this act, this election.
Well, the yellow vest movement was very inspiring, in particular because it all came very much from the small towns, which are considered not very political. And indeed, it came from parts of the country where Le Pen's vote had traditionally been quite strong. And at the beginning of the movement, we were rather worried about that. And the influence of Le Pen and the attempted influence of Le Pen had made some inroads. But patience and determined work by an awful lot of union activists and local leftists marginalised the far right within the yellow vest movement. And in particular, the big issue for the yellow vest became police violence. And of course, Le Pen was never going to denounce police violence. Indeed, I believe it's more than half of the police force that vote for her. Now, as for its enduring effect, that's very difficult because, of course, it goes up and then it goes down and it doesn't have any designated leaders or structures. And so, you know, it's very hard to say to say what are yellow vests thinking. You've got occasional attempts to run local candidates in the name of yellow vests, but it could never come to very much because it's not a movement which is very, very coherent. So I think its main effect has been to encourage, along with the pension protests, a sense of revolt. And that really has very much helped. I mean, the reason that Mélenchon has been able to rebuild left reformism with this new insurgent tone is because of the tremendous combativity and class consciousness of French workers over the last 25 years. You remember the pensions, many of the strikers, perhaps even most of the strikers, were striking so that pension conditions would be maintained for newly recruited workers. That is to say that the very, very large numbers of strikers were striking not for their own pensions, but for those of their younger colleagues, for their nieces and nephews or children and so on. So it's very much political strikes. And the previous 5 years earlier, the strikes against the labor law reform, again, very much political strikes about the forms of contract which are acceptable in French society. And so this is real political class consciousness. And so it's not surprising that this has translated itself eventually into a mass political movement which tries to get in parliament the sort of people who can defend workers' interests.
John, you mentioned police violence and the fact that Macron did nothing to oppose police violence, especially during the Yellow Vest movement. And the French police are often described as the most violent in Western Europe. Is this true? And how has Macron used force to crush dissent?
There are a lot of things I don't understand about police violence in France. It's been rising for at least 10 years. And under the socialist president previously, it was already on the rise. I remember being in a demonstration and hearing a sergeant shouting to his policeman, "Go now, maximum violence." That was the instruction given, maximum violence. I was really shocked. I mean, you know, I'm an old hand, but, you know, I was really shocked. And so it seems that there is a determination to make sure that people understand that if they rebel, they will be they will pay the physical price. And indeed, the yellow vests, there were dozens of people who lost an eye, each one completely illegal, because this is firing rubber bullets which are supposed to be fired at the legs. This is firing them directly at people's heads. So completely illegal and very, very scary, of course. And I think one of the ways that Jean-Luc Mélenchon stood out from the other parliamentary left candidates is he said, you know, all yellow vests arrested or imprisoned will be amnestied. And also last year in the parliament, he demanded a minute of silence for those killed, those yellow vests killed or injured. And this is what I mean when I say there's a certain insurgent tone. You know, it's really sort of going there and making a noise, making a stand. And although the priority of the France Insoumise is elections, nevertheless, even in the parliament, they say, you know, we're here to make trouble. We're here to shout out, make a noise. We're not just joining the different committees in the traditional way and being polite, loyal opposition.
And I guess that kind of leads into, I guess, one of the next questions, especially in this question around the French kind of the repression of the French police, because there has been this whole, you know, scourge, I guess, of Islamophobia within French society for like the past several years. I mean, it even predates 9/11, but I guess, you know, around 9/11, the kind of rush around the Islamophobia actually got even worse. And I guess one of the other issues with Islamophobia is that, you know, the French left has not necessarily had the perfect kind of positions. And in fact, some of them have actually had, you know, from our perspective from afar, you know, some of the French left has actually had some quite reactionary positions on how to respond to the question of Islam. And I guess that gets leads into the kind of question of, you know, why has confronting Islamophobia been such a challenge for the French left? And I guess, what have been the recent kind of turning points?
Well, Islamophobia has been at best a blind spot and at worst a deep shame for almost all the French left for 50 years. Now, where does this come from? It partly comes from a long and foolish tradition of the French left to believe that being left-wing means detesting believers. For many, many years, this meant detesting Catholic believers. But when Muslims became the enemy on the international stage, this kind of meshed together. And this idea, oh, yeah, let's detest believers, became, oh, let's detest Muslims. And so you got, newspapers like Charlie Hebdo, which had sections of the newspaper are left-wing, and other sections of the newspaper are the most vicious Islamophobia that just make you want to. We make you feel physically sick to look at them. And so what has the left done? Well, I guess 20 years ago, there were about 5% of left activists who thought fighting Islamophobia was a priority. And then 10 years ago, there were 15%. But that didn't make much difference because we worked very hard. Yeah? But that didn't make much difference because at the national level, the leadership said, oh, let's not talk about this. It will divide our organizations. And it was the sort of issue that could destroy organizations. So people kept quiet. The recent turning point is that Jean-Luc Mélenchon is the first political leader with a mass following to loudly and repeatedly defend Muslims. I'm not saying his position is perfect, but it's a historic turning point that where 10 years ago, an attack on Muslims would be the only reaction from the left would be some rather unhappy press releases. Today, it's becoming something. Now, it's very far from what I would like it to be, but nevertheless, even at his electoral speeches where the issue is not particularly Islamophobia, he'll say, and another thing, one of the most important things is we don't want to be divided Muslims against the rest. We don't agree with this. So he's actually bringing it up when nobody's brought it up. And we're us who've been fighting Islamophobia for 30 years, it's incredible. How can they, I must be dreaming. So it's a tremendous difference. And this really made a difference because actually of Muslims who voted, over 65% voted Mélenchon because they're not stupid. They noticed the difference and a whole network of anti-racist and anti-Islamophobic groups, mostly black groups in the poorer towns, got together and wrote an appeal to vote for Mélenchon and said, things have changed. 10 years ago, these groups said, fuck white politics. So there's really been something tremendously, and old people like me, we've been waiting for it for 30 years, and so we can get a bit emotional, but that's understandable.
John, for the 2017 presidential election, Mélenchon decided to unilaterally shelve the left front and the necessary compromises that come from working with other groups, in particular the Communist Party, and founded La France Insoumise. Whatever criticism can be made of the way this decision was implemented, why did he do it, and was he proven right?
The problem with alliances between political parties is it's a bit like marriages after a divorce. You ask the two members what went wrong, and you get two completely different stories. But this is my opinion: is that the Front de Gauche did not work, mainly because the Communist Party was torn between a desire to be radical and a desire to continue running joint regional governments with the Socialist Party, which they still do around the country. And so it was putting the brakes on all the time. And so Mélenchon tried to do something new with the France Insoumise. And I think there's a lot of things we don't understand yet, but he tried to develop a new kind of left reformism with a fair chunk of left patriotism in there. We can talk about that too. He might have been wrong, he might have been right, but in fact he was right. I mean, the proof of pudding is in the eating, and 7.5 million votes is something that the Front de Gauche couldn't get, you know. And so, yes, so I think he was right, and also I think he was right to, and the reason he did the France Insoumise is he wanted to get away from horse trading between party leaders. We'll give you Toulouse if you give us Marseille. Which is a long and horrible tradition in France and elsewhere, and really tried to concentrate on the politics and the program. And I think he's generally been very successful despite all the forces arrayed against him and the huge number of smear campaigns run against Jean-Luc Mélenchon. He was a megalomaniac, and then he was an anti-Semite, and then he was a friend of Putin's. And these were all accepted or treated in a horrifically naive way by most people on the left. Oh, do you think he's a friend of Putin's? I wonder if he is. Let's discuss it on the internet. You know, I mean, people are, in my opinion, left people are generally hopeless at dealing with smear campaigns. And you get all these left people saying, oh, don't you think he might be a friend of Putin sometimes on a Tuesday? You know, and it makes me so mad. So, whereas really, you know, you need to fight back when there's a smear campaign. Mélenchon is not a friend of Putin, but he is a friend of people who want change. And he's not a revolutionary, but he's a guy who wants change, which is, I'm a great supporter of his.
Yeah, and I guess, just looking, I guess, from afar, the 2021 campaign actually seemed to kind of represent a bit of a kind of step up in kind of mass engagement by the Mélenchon campaign. And I guess, how was this different to 2017? And I guess, what can you tell us, I guess, about the Union Populaire?
Well, the Union Populaire was pretty smart. What Mélenchon and his team wanted was people to support the presidential candidacy who didn't feel France Insoumise. They didn't feel France Insoumise because it has some rather specific characteristics, whether it be left patriotism, whether it be this or that or the other. And so he wanted to open it out so that people didn't have to say, OK, I'm becoming France Insoumise. They'd say, well, no, I have some disagreements, but I'll join this wider group. And so in particular, so they set up a parlement, a sort of consultative assembly of the Union Populaire, which was led by Aurélie Trouvé, the ex-president of ATTAC, the Alter Globalization movement. So he did manage to, it was a way of widening it out, because the thing about presidential elections is, you know, you need a very wide support. And if you only look for the support of people who exactly agree with you, well, it's not going to work. So that's how it worked. And this was also, this also allowed other groups to come in. I mean, I've never seen anything like what happened in this last month. You know, suddenly there was a appeal of 800 university lecturers to vote for Mélenchon, and then these anti-racist groups I mentioned. Sections of the Young Communists were saying, don't vote for the Communist Party candidate, vote for Mélenchon. So there was a real dynamic of the Union Populaire. And of course, you know, nothing succeeds like success. So more less politicized people, when they see things dynamic and moving around, it gives them hope. And so I think that was very successful. But I also think that it was something that Mélenchon is good at, that he understands political differences. And he said, you know, I'm not asking you to agree with me on everything. I'm just asking you for this, this, and this. And so you know, he's not frightened of disagreements. So I think he handled that. He handled that very, very well. I mean, I don't know if I sound like a mad fan of Mélenchon, but this may be because I've been fighting against these smear campaigns for months. So, you know, I'd rather go too far in the other direction.
Thanks, John. Can you tell us about why there were smaller revolutionary Trotskyist groups running their own presidential candidates? I mean, were they wrong to do this? And what was the nature and the purpose of the Communist Party's campaign?
Well, these are two slightly different questions. To take the two Trotskyist candidates, they're very different. One then is, I'm not going to go into great detail, but one is Workers' Struggle, who have always run their own candidate and never run joint campaigns with anybody about anything. So there wasn't much point in being disappointed with them for not supporting Mélenchon. And then there was the NPA, the new anti-capitalist party, who, on the contrary, frequently run joint campaigns, anti-racist campaigns, campaign to defend the hospital or whatever, with everybody they can, including the Socialist Party, quite rightly, are really on the ground fighting, and indeed have run joint election campaigns with the France Insoumise for local elections in a couple of towns. And so, however, the new anti-capitalist party decided to stand their own candidate. I think this is a historic mistake. Now, I wouldn't like to make any specific predictions, but they will pay a huge price for this. Really, not so much because they got 200,000 or 300,000 votes, which could have come to Mélenchon. That's not the point. It's that they are an independent Marxist voice. There's this huge organization, La France Insoumise, which is debating and pushing for very radical change. And the NPA boycotted this debate. In their newspaper, they literally, and it's easy to check on the web, on their newspaper, search for the word Mélenchon, they never mention him except every 3 months they find a particular point to denounce him on. And so there's this huge debate which is being boycotted by the Marxists, whereas in fact, the La France Insoumise is bringing up huge, difficult questions. What to think about animal rights? What about ecology and defending jobs? What about, what was the other one? Oh yeah, all the different questions about feminism and Marxism. They're all bubbling up. I was at the summer school, which was the biggest left summer school in France, of the France Insoumise. So all these questions were coming up. And I'm thinking, well, you know, where are the Marxists? And they decided to stay warm among themselves. And this is what sectarianism is. Sectarianism is not being mean to other people, although, you know, being mean to other people is generally not to be encouraged. It's about starting with your organization instead of starting with where the mass of the people are. And so the huge problem of the NPA campaign was, for most workers, it seemed to be the same. Mélenchon said, let's have a citizens' revolution and make all these huge radical changes. Poutou said, let's break with capitalism and make all these huge radical changes. Now, I'm a Trotskyist, I know the difference, but almost everybody doesn't. And so really, they fought very hard, the NPA, to get 1% of the votes based on distinctions which mean nothing to the mass of the people. So I think it's a huge mistake. Now, the reason for the mistake is, well, the NPA has different tendencies, which have different ideas. Some of them think that Mélenchon is pretending to want change, that he doesn't want change. He's pretending to want change. That's the worst bunch. And the rest, well, they have this sort of idea that what you need to do is to represent Marxist ideas on the electoral stage, and you know, and then you know, or that the only important place for struggle is in the streets and elections don't count. So you know, I mean, this huge debate of how much can you change through elections? It's an essential debate, but it needs to be carried out in front of millions of people and not in front of hundreds of people. And that's why I'm extremely disappointed with the NPA. I was a member of the NPA for many years before I left them. And so I'm so disappointed with them because I feel they have boycotted the debate about the crucial questions of change.
And well, that gets into, I guess, the kind of next kind of question, because I guess, yeah, we have obviously kind of like this whole issue of, I mean, revolutionary kind of Trotskyist groups running their own presidential candidates in a sense of, you know, not necessarily connecting to the kind of mass base that the Jean-Luc Mélenchon kind of campaign did. But on the other hand, though, you have pointed out that, you know, Jean-Luc Mélenchon isn't a revolutionary at the end of the day. And of course, a lot of these groups actually have, you know, a particular kind of criticism of Mélenchon. So I'm kind of here interested in kind of hearing, I guess, before we get into some of the other questions afterwards, I guess, what are some of the criticisms of Mélenchon from the radical left? And I guess, including his French patriotism. And I mean, and also relating this to, you know, what are some of his sort of major kind of limitations, politically speaking?
Well, I mean, from the far left, it depends. I mean, the worst of the far left, I call them the Mélenchon ate my hamster brigade, because they just hate him, and I've never understood why. But certainly there are Marxists in general, or me, for example, there are some very real questions. Mélenchon says we can use the symbols of French patriotism, the tricolour flag and the Marseillaise, and we can use this to push for progressive change. And it's true that left patriotism sounds less insane when the national slogan is liberty, equality and freedom, rather than whatever the Australians have as a slogan, probably something less progressive. Nevertheless, the problem is that Mélenchon imagines France playing a positive role on the international stage, using the fact that it has nuclear weapons as leverage to encourage peace in the world, and all of these sorts of things that obviously Marxists could never agree with. And also left patriotism has other ideas, because it has other problems, because it means we should identify with France. So if France loses economic influence to China in Africa, we should be sad. You know, and all these sort of ideas that of identifying, in fact, with national capital, these are really problematic. Now, what's good about Jean-Luc Mélenchon is that he explains them in detail, and he deserves detailed and fraternal responses from the Marxists saying, no, we don't agree because. But the problem is that there are very few Marxists doing the response. No, this is not good. There are not none at all. There are two Marxist groups inside the France Insoumise. Each one have about 100 members, but doing doing what they can to have a Marxist input into the debate. So I think certainly left patriotism and the foreign policy are big weaknesses. The other one is the whole question of elections. That how much can elections change? Now again here. I'm going to defend Mélenchon even by attacking him. Mélenchon did a series of lectures recently on what happened in 1981, what went wrong. This was the last time we had a big radical left government in France, and the left believes it went wrong. I agree with them. But Mélenchon, unlike most left reformists, doesn't avoid this question. No, he does hour-long lectures on it, saying this is what happened. The left government came to power and didn't change much. Why not? Why it can be different next time, I don't agree with him. But, you know, he's putting the questions on the table. And so what Marxists have to do is get stuck in and answer and do the studying and do the work, because Mélenchon's a bit of a historian, and answer back. And in that way, build the influence of Marxism, which can take a movement which, for the moment, you know, radical people in France for the moment want a left government. Because that, you know, most people aren't revolutionaries. They say, "Oh, you know, things need to change. We need another government." That's how you do it, isn't it? And it's only in this struggle that you know people can go further. But they certainly won't if you're not even with them and not even talking to them.
And that gets into, I guess, the next question, which is, I guess, how is La France Insoumise positioned to, I guess, organise the coming battles against a second-term Macron administration, or, I guess, the worst-case scenario, a Le Pen one? Can we expect it to increase its representation in the National Assembly? And I guess probably the most important question, and this is, I guess, the question that's asked by any sort of revolutionary or any leftists of a broad left formation, does it actually have a serious perspective of building mass struggle outside Parliament?
Well, two things there. Yes, so you're right to underline that in June there are the legislative elections. So the whole parliament will be replaced. And indeed, the new president can't do much if he does get a government of his own side. Now, he almost always does because electorates tend to be traditionally generous with the party that just won the presidential election because people think, hey, give him a chance, he won. On the other hand, which is interesting to see the difference between Macron and Le Pen. Macron and his allies are, I think there's 340 members of parliament. Le Pen has seven members of parliament. So in fact, you know, I'm not expecting Le Pen to win, but if she did, it would be a major constitutional crisis. Yes, I am expecting La France has 17 MPs. At the moment, you'd think they were dozens and dozens because they managed to make a lot of noise, which is good. Yes, I am expecting them to have considerably more, but you know, I would say dozens more rather and not hundreds more. And so they'll better thing. As for extra parliamentary struggle, that is either strikes or anti-racist movements. Those are the two big ones at the moment. The two big possibilities at the moment. As traditionally, reformist leaders tend to think that strikes and so on should be organised by the trade unions and that political parties should support them rather than organise them. And so I think that will continue. I think I'm not expecting the France Insoumise to say, hey, let's call a strike on this or that, but they will support the strikes, which will certainly happen because if Macron gets back in, he will certainly launch more attacks, maybe try again on the pensions, although he failed last time. He's also hinted that he would like students to pay a lot of money to go to university, which they don't at the moment. And that is explosive in France. It's interesting that no right-wing politician before Macron last month has ever said it would be good for students to pay a lot of money to go to university because it's just too dangerous a thing to say in France. So that will be, you know, there'll be some big fights to come. As for other questions like anti-racism, well, this is interesting because last year in 2021, there was a big demonstration against the far right. And although this involved many organisations, the France Insoumise members of parliament were central to setting it going. So, you know, I think they can have a role. It's going to remain an organisation which is based around electoral politics, although it's also very heterogeneous. So in one town, the France Insoumise group might be quite involved in local struggles, and in another town, not too much when there isn't an election. It's all very, very heterogeneous.
La France Insoumise also, you know, they are still very dependent on Mélenchon's personality, which is a dynamic reinforced by a presidential campaign, which inevitably puts the focus on an individual. But they do have a host of other talented and high profile leaders. And, you know, they seem to also have le feu follet or the fire within. John, can you comment comment on that or maybe describe some of them for us?
Yes, I think that the idea that the France Insoumise depends on Jean-Luc Mélenchon's personality, I don't really agree. This is how the press has liked to put it. In fact, for a long time, they preferred to put it, he's a megalomaniac. That's indeed one of the reasons that whole sections of the far left assumed that after 2017 elections, the France Insoumise would just collapse and disappear. Because for them, it was only, I think that's the big tragedy of the far left in France is not to have understood what new left reformism is today. There's a whole series of other leaders, you know, there's people like Manon Aubry, who was a leader of, director of Oxfam. There was Clémentine Autain, who started in the Communist Party. Daniel Obono, a black member of parliament who's best known for the last 20 years or 30 years. I've known her since she was a child, in fact. And I met her when she was under 20 fighting against Islamophobia. There are a series of people, and some of them have really been built up by Mélenchon. That is, that he has really wanted younger leaders to come forward, which I think is great. There's also François Ruffin, who among other things, he's a journalist, and these are members of parliament, and he's a journalist, and he's made the two best mass circulation political documentaries for the last 5 years. Most recently, Debout les Femmes, Stand Up Women, which is about care workers and what, as a member of parliament, he tried to do for and with care workers. A fabulous, documentary. So there's these different personalities, people like Adrien Quatennens also, and they don't agree on everything, and they have a very diverse personality. You know, François Ruffin in particular is a bit of an independent thinker, let's say. And they have different weaknesses as well. I mean, François Ruffin, there's lots of things he hasn't understood about Islamophobia. He refused to come to the demo against Islamophobia 18 months ago. Although, to be fair on him, he then accepted an invitation of radical Muslims to come and have a couple of hours discussion with them, filmed and put on YouTube. You know, so he still doesn't understand, but you know, at least he's ready to get stuck in there. So yes, I think there are new leaders coming up. Hard to say what will happen. I mean, Mélenchon is not that old. I mean, he says that that this is the last time he will do a presidential election, and I can imagine, because it's he's done a huge number of meetings and interviews. Remember, in France, we like 3-hour meetings and 2.5-hour interviews. That's the way we do things here. We don't, this little half-hour interview, it's just, that's just something Australian, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're getting into, the kind of last kind of question, and you feel free to kind of add any concluding comments that you might want to make in response to this kind of question. But I guess this is, a question about, you know, the kind of future of La France Insoumise. You kind of have pointed out that the kind of far left was kind of wrong to kind of write it off as something that would just end after one kind of election. And of course, yeah, we've already sort of addressed the kind of question that, you know, Mélenchon and his age. And I guess, what do you kind of see in terms of the future of La France Insoumise, in terms of potentially transitioning into a more democratic formation that can at least pass on the leadership baton? Because I guess, this is, as you kind of describe, it is a resurgence of new left reformism. But what is that? Yeah, what is it actually evolving to, and where is this going?
Oh, well, unfortunately, I left my crystal ball in a train, so I'm not sure about that one. The France Insoumise is not a political party. You can't be a member. You don't pay subs. You're part of a network of supporters. Now, the advantage of this, the disadvantage of this, or many people think the disadvantage of this, is that you don't all vote for this policy and not this policy, and you don't all vote for this leader and not this leader. The advantage of it is that you don't have the tradition on the French radical left of long and painful faction fights, with people spending more debating weekends with their own faction than with the rest of the world. I've done this in the far left in France. It's incredible the amount of time you can spend writing policy documents that nobody will read. The whole question about democracy is really democracy in order to do what? I mean, personally, it doesn't bother me much that a particular policy of the France Insoumise has not got asked for the majority votes of the people who are active for the France Insoumise. But that's because, you know, I'm a Marxist, and I'm sure that if we asked everybody completely democratically their opinions, we wouldn't get Marxist results, because we're a minority. So it's like, that doesn't really bother me much. So I'm not really answering your question, in the sense that I'm not quite sure what the France Insoumise will become. Mélenchon considers that the old-fashioned way of doing a party, the party machine, is out of date, partly because of the new technology, that is, that you can get information much more quickly. You don't need to go to your, I'm not talking about your organization, huh? You don't need to go to your branch meeting to know what's going on. don't tell comrades I said that. but yeah, and so, you know, there's this idea that you can do things differently. Now, the advantage of that is that, you know, if you can be part of the France Insoumise and produce a revolutionary paper and sell it, and nobody bothers you because there's no party discipline stopping you. So, I mean, you know, it kind of suits me in a way, because although I'm relatively in favour of structured revolutionary organisations, rather unstructured reformist ones quite suit me, because that allows me to get stuck in and do the work to build the organisation, but also have my independent voice and with my own opinions. And even, you know, like I say, I could produce a paper if there was enough of me.
Yeah. And I guess just one last, we'll finish this up. Do you have, I guess, any kind of final comments you want like to make?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously the headlines abroad are there are fascists everywhere in France, and I understand that. But, you know, there are 49 million adults in France, 10.5 million voted for the fascists. Very, very massively more among old people and in the countryside. Now, I've nothing against old people living in the countryside, except that they must get bored. But, you know, I think, you know, it's also a very exciting time. And the level of class struggle has been very high. And I'm expecting there to be more mass strikes very soon. Very soon, whether it's on pensions, whether it's on wages, because, of course, inflation is coming back to Europe in a big way. And also, because Macron was obliged to spend billions on supporting wage workers during the pandemic, and indeed because of the balance of forces, wage workers in France got better support than in most other countries. But because of that, he will have extra arguments to double the austerity, because, you know, they borrowed a load of money and they want to pay it back while still continuing to cut the taxes for the rich. It's not hard to calculate it. So I don't think, you know, as the Scarecrow said in The Wizard of Oz, I think it might get darker before it gets lighter. But there's also a lot of exciting things going on, a lot of hope. And I think that the France Insoumise is going to be a central player for a number of years. And I think, you know, that people need to get stuck in. At the same time as, I mean, I say at the same time as keeping an independent Marxist voice, but I think that goes without saying, because how could you possibly be a Marxist and not keep an independent voice? It just can't exist.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that, John. I think this has been a very insightful interview, a very kind of good discussion. And in fact, yeah, we'll definitely like to probably continue this discussion when possibly the second round results, I guess, come in. And I guess we'll kind of see. I mean, it'll definitely kind of depend. I mean, there'll probably be a lot to talk about if Le Pen wins, whether the implication with Macron, I guess we're kind of already know what to expect if he were to win. So, but we're not sure what to expect with Le Pen president, which is actually a kind of scary kind of prospect. Anyway, thank you very much.
There has been a bunch of anti-fascist demonstrations called for next Saturday in France. And there's also a series of universities who are in revolt at the moment. Now, I think that the protest should be under the slogan, not one vote for Le Pen, because that manages to get together the people who are going to vote Macron reluctantly and those who are going to boycott the second round. And I think we shouldn't divide those people, get them together to fight Le Pen. That's my idea.